Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
It's a great day at River Tree Academy. We are a private Christian school in the Lake Como community that strives to provide an environment where students can learn well, love well, work well, and lead well. We still have openings available for incoming 3rd through 5th grade students to enroll. Visit us on the web at rivertreeacademy.org to find out more and enroll today.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk What Works. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk What Works is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about CCPD funding and is the city of Fort Worth allocating funding fairly? I reached out to the CCPD funding department via phone and email this week for the contact Liz Garza. I received a response back from Buddy Calzada. Mr. Calzada said no one was available to do the show in this time slot. I responded I can make an exception and do the show anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m. Mr. Calzada then responded back via email, he would check on it and keep me posted. So tonight, we decided that we would list all of our questions on the show and send it to them for a response on Tuesday. They have already started accepting applications for CCPD funding, and these questions need to be answered. If you have a question or a comment tonight, the call-in number is 515-605-9321, then press 1. Again, the number is 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. A disclaimer, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or any advertisers. With that said, Let's Talk Fort Worth. I think some of my panelists on the phone. Good evening. Now, listen, sometimes when we do these kinds of shows, y'all, all kind of weird stuff starts to happen, but that's the first. So 682-250, hang up and try it again because it shows you twice on the line. So I'm not sure why it's showing you twice, but if you would disconnect the call and then call back in, that may help. Okay, let's try that again. Y'all, listen, when you do these kind of shows, anything is subject to happen. But tonight we just wanted to talk about the fact that CCPD funding is something that is offered through the City of Fort Worth through our police department. And this funding basically is offered to nonprofits. And so with that said, we felt like we needed to bring everybody up to speed as to what this particular funding is all about and how you can get in on it, seeing that they have already started accepting applications. Allegedly, anybody who has a program that they feel, according to them, their mission is to become one of the safest major cities in the U.S. Their mission is to enhance the Fort Worth Police Department's ability to provide quality service and to work in partnership with the community to reduce crime and to create a safe environment. According to them, their goals are to manage the budget based on funding priorities, continue to provide opportunities to citizens to learn about CCPD, support efforts to reduce violent crime and gang-related activities through enhanced enforcement activities and crime prevention programs, support efforts to increase the safety of residents and to decrease crime for neighborhoods. Also, they say they want to support efforts to increase the safety of youth and to reduce juvenile crime through crime prevention and intervention programs. And lastly, they say they want to support efforts to enhance crime fighting and prevention tools and efforts through diverse recruitment, training, and retention of high-quality officers, technology, and equipment, and capital improvement. All right, y'all, they say that's what their goals are. So we're going to go back to 682. Is that better, 682-250? Good evening.
Yes, ma'am. It's a lot better.
I can hear you. Okay, 469-743. Good evening. 469-743. Okay, I'm not sure who you are. 469-743. Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Who am I speaking to?
Reggie Ruffin.
Oh, hey, Reggie. I didn't recognize your number. Oh, hey, y'all. Okay, so Malik and Reggie are on the line. Y'all, CCPD funding is a big thing in Fort Worth. Malik and I talk about it from time to time. Reggie, you and I have talked about it from time to time. This particular program seems to be open to everybody. But, Malik, do you feel like it's really open to everybody, or is that just what they say?
Technically, yeah, it is. to everyone, but seems like they have a little hamster wheel for the same people to get it all the time. So what I'm saying is, like, it's just a written rule of thumb for certain individuals and groups to receive CCPD funding.
You said you went to the meeting the other day and certain groups had already received the funding, even though the application process hasn't been closed.
Beg your pardon?
Wow. Go figure. So they're currently accepting applications, y'all, to be clear. They're currently accepting applications, so it's open season to submit your application. However, some people have already been approved. Typically, that's not how programs work. They would allow everybody to submit their application, and then they would stop, right?
Pretty much. I mean, how it's supposed to go, you know, what I didn't understand is that they telling us they had this board, which consists of our city council people. From listening to and speaking to the budget director, I think his name is Keith Scott, correct me if I'm wrong. But anyway, they had this, I guess, application review committee that they got that don't know nobody know about. Before it go up to, I guess they basically saying yay or nay before they send it up to the city councilman. And the city councilman are taking their recommendations based on what they see, their findings.
Who is that board?
Is applicable, who's on that board? That's what I have to do. What they showing on up to us is our city councilman. Nine, including the mayor.
And see, that's what's confusing, because the CCPD Board of Directors, per the Fort Worth Police Department's website, says that Maddie Parker is the director, Carlos Flores is the president, Michael Crane, Alan Blaylock are directors, Gina Bivens is the vice president, Jared Williams, Leonard Firestone, Chris Mills, and Elizabeth Beck are all directors as well. So is there really a middle group? Or is this the beginning and the end, this group that we just mentioned? That's the question.
No, it's a middle group that I have to file the Freedom of Information Open Records Report to see who these middle group people are.
Yeah, we want to know that. That's one of our questions tonight.
I was like, you know, who denies a Pee Wee football team and, you know, and the person that, you know, that was in that district claiming that he was a Pee Wee football coach himself, and you know that, and that was your best work. You know what I'm saying? And another thing too, when they deny people, they don't tell you what you did wrong on the application or why you got denied or anything. They not being real specific. If if you do reapply or choose to reapply, then, you know, why is it that, you know, be all end all if they decide to say, hey, you didn't fill something out right. Won't you get on the phone and say, hey, you didn't fill this out right, like most people do. You know what I'm saying? Send your application back so you can make the corrections before you submitting it. You know what I'm saying? Have some type of tutorial that you can click online to make sure that you fill your application out right.
That part. And so two of the questions, just based on what Malik just said, that we will add to our list is, who sends the application to the CCPD board? So who are those people? And then we want to know, why are there no explanations for denial? Second question. So Reggie Ruffin, are you familiar with the CCPD funding and how it works?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with it.
Do you think it's allocated fairly?
Not at all. They only allocate it to the flunkies and the stooges that kiss their behinds downtown. And they just not, I mean, anybody who's actually trying to seek real justice, they want to have you in a position where you're fiduciarily controlled. So therefore, you know, groups like, you know, let's say Next Generation Action Network or, you know, or Just Cause or any other organizations, they're not going to get that type of funding because we're speaking out against police corruption. They want everybody to jump up and down, bet you by golly, wow, nay, nay, do the do the hokey pokey, change stuff around just to get on TV and get funding and everything, because they definitely not going to do it for yours truly, because yours truly is not going to bite his tongue about who he talks about, what he talks about, and how he talks about it.
But see, you know, the thing is, these are grants. And so we're literally saying, and let me tell y'all basically so you understand how this funding works. The City of Fort Worth offers two strategies for community-based programs. And if you're not familiar with what the CCPD stands for, CCPD stands for Crime Control and Prevention District. So that's CCPD, Crime Control and Prevention District. But the City of Fort Worth offers two strategies for community-based programs. The first one is development grants. Those are $50,000 projects under funding strategies will help to develop strong agencies and effective responses on crime safety. Basically, what I'm understanding is capacity building, planning projects, strategic enhancement projects. So that's that type of funding. But the bigger money is the program grant. These fundings are under funding strategies is available to agencies that have high likelihood of success based on the agency's documented performance and established strategies that will result in a change to a relevant crime slash safety problem. The program grants provide up to $30,000 $300,000 over a three-year period for the agencies that propose to make a measurable impact to at least one CCPD goal. Okay, so this funding is very funny because they're saying you got to have under this particular one, the program grant, that you need to have an established program, I guess, with documented proof that what you're doing is already working. Well, the question I have for them on that is, who does the checking to verify that these programs work, Malik? How do we know that these programs that are getting $300,000 grants actually have a proven track record of working? You agree?
Now, there is the $300,000 question.
You sure, right? That's where our citizens review committee that needs to be implemented so we can see by our right, because it's tax dollars funded, you know, you got to put your open records and report and make that request. One thing I did dig into is the ones that were, you know, so-called supposed to be in these schools. When I called the purchasing department, you know, they didn't go through the proper channels of like they supposed to when it comes to having programs implemented in that school. And so I hope that gets investigated real thorough. But what I was told when the young lady pulled it up, that program didn't exist nowhere in the 4FISD.
Whoa, and this is supposed to be connected to CCPD funding?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That part. You know what? I think, in my opinion, because we're talking about so much money, we should be breaking this down into percentages of areas that want to be addressed, mental illness, teens, you know, recidivism, you know, so those types of things where specific areas are being addressed rather than just, okay, this person has a good idea or that person has a good idea. Are these areas targeting a specific thing that needs to be addressed to bring our crime rate down in the city? Because if you just have an idea, but that idea isn't specifically going to tell us how you're going to target bringing the crime rate down, I don't know that every program should just fit the bill. Can you tell me some of the programs that you saw them funding the other night, Malik?
Lena Pope, what's that, Chisholm Trail Bike program that the lady, young lady had, they funded, and I forgot what the third one, you know, people like Minister Against Crime, some seem like they always get automatically check mark. some of these other kangaroos, like Bro was saying, you know, community frontline gets a check mark, you know, they automatically get passed. But Lena Pope, yeah, that's what I was thinking about. I think Lena Pope home was one of them that, you know, when they was supposed to give a presentation, but, you know, you got the VIP program, you know, I'm still up in the cloud of what they do. For one thing, you just can't pop up. You know, it takes anywhere from, it take about 3.5 years for any program to be implemented. It takes that long. You just can't holler that you got a program and going up here talking to kids. That's not a damn program. Well, yeah, that's a motivation to speak as far as I'm concerned. You know, you should have some pay. It should be a paper trail, some receipts to whatever they say to these programs that we should be able to pull up online and see how it works, what is it supposed to do, you know, et cetera. But for some strange reason, when it comes to these unclassified backdoor meetings, you know, that they have every Tuesday, it's not, the public never get to see, you know, if we can't pull it up online, what they doing or what they saying in these particular meetings for some strange apparent reason. But yet we footing the bill for it. So just like city council, if they all have a CCPD meetings, we should be able to see, we should be able to see it online. For some reason, you know, these unclassified ass meetings, they don't let us know what's going on. But we need to dig into it and make it mandatory that any time they do meet, we need to see what they're talking about and whatever programs they have, we need to see how it works.
Well, the truth be told, if everything is above board, why would the meeting not be publicized? You know what I mean? If everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing and the money is being allocated as it's supposed to be being done, and there's no nepotism or, you know, my buddy or whatever or my company getting that, you know, some funding, why would that not be publicized?
Because they don't want nobody to know, because stealing, when you're stealing, a thief, they ain't going to never show his hand. Why would you show your hand if you're doing something, you know, there's too many people got their hands in that pot. And things sad part about it is the public that's footing the bill for it.
You know, Reggie, go ahead,
boy. I'm just saying what they got, it ain't law. That's policy. We can challenge that.
I absolutely agree. Reggie, do you think that you should automatically get a pass for another term just because they gave you funding last time? Should your program automatically get a rubber stamp every time the funding comes up just because you got it last time?
That's not usually how it's going to happen, regardless of your intent. One of the things is, let's say I rubber stamp a program that I'm doing and whatnot, then I'm not reelected. Now, 9 times out of 10, whoever's the incumbent that takes over the seat may still implement that plan. But however, if they feel it was a waste, they can cut the program when they take the seat, and that happens quite often. The other problem is, you know, like my brother was talking about, was the fact that, you know, some of these programs just a nice little allocated way for a council person, mayor, whomever, to get them sticky fingers up in there and start pulling that pie out. Because, you know, when you're in charge of the program, you're the one that's, you know, you're the one that's in charge of the funding and everything. As they say, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from all evil. But Lord knows there's a whole lot of temptation and evil going on in certain places.
It just makes no sense that, you know, every year there's a potential for thousands of applications. If the word was put out there properly, CCPD funding program, I think your mayor pro tem said that you all needed to do more to get the word out. But most people don't even know what CCPD funding is or how to apply for it. But that said, if you are just rubber stamping programs and not allowing thousands of people to submit them, that just absolutely does not seem fair to me. It just absolutely seems like, something right. I mean, I'm just going to be very honest. And where are the audits at with these programs? Is anybody looking at how the money is being spent in these programs? Is the city just cutting checks and not even going to verify that these people are spending the money like they say they're supposed to be spending the money? Is there any kind of, you know, oversight into auditing?
No. No. Oversight is the people doing the spending. Shit. They all in.
I mean, will the Fox have
any
oversight
even
over
way, city manager. Shit.
Whoa. See, now that's scary. So you mean somebody can go and buy a house or go buy a car with the money, and there's nobody to check and see if the money was done? I mean, they did right by the money?
That's what they've been doing.
Oh, wow.
Ding, 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 ding.
They get their money. They out on them bought cars and houses, getting houses built.
Come on now. The city, come on, y'all. City can't do it like that. So people are literally taking the money and spend it on personal. So there is not a checklist that we got with the city that says the money must be spent XYZ way, not just,
well, see,
you know,
based on the freedom of information, we have to submit, and they got to give it to us.
Oh, my God.
And I question that. Well, man, bro, you know, if it's a program, we should be able to see how it operates, how it's functioning, and where it's being utilized at. My team is on the ground. We everywhere, north, south, east, and west, just about, and we don't see them. You going up to the school being hall monitors and babysitters, that's not a freaking program. That's a joke. You're a hall monitor. That's what you're doing.
Whoa.
You know, they ain't set up, you know, a lot of these after-school programs are getting money from CCPD also. I can understand that before them going in, making sure everyday life is effective and complete. Now, they holler about them calls and all that. They ain't turning up them calls every day.
That's
just a way to steal in front of money, and that's what got them busted with Brother Fitzgerald. Brother Fitzgerald caught them using stealing. We know they steal, and they've been doing it.
The crazy part is, and if you ask questions, they look at you like, you know, why are you asking? Thinking to myself, this is money that's coming out of the city budget, and we're just like, got questions like, what y'all doing with it? Because it's not like we get a chance to choose whether or not we're going to be taxpayers. We're automatically taxpayers. You know, if we live in the city, we got to pay taxes. And
I know, we're part of that field, and that's what we are questioning. We don't want to be part of that field because you are misusing the funds that are supposed to help the people. I don't care about no cop car. Who cares? We put in too much money in a group of people that don't produce a damn thing. And so, you know, that don't make no sense. Okay, Carrie, let me give you a list here. Her partners, let me see. It's Alliance for Children. After school programs they have listed.
Now, where are you getting this information from?
I took a picture. Family Justice Center Program, Late Night Programs, which is the YMCA that Melvin Lee is running, partnerships with Shared Assistance, gang interprevention programs. You know, it's about 19 altogether. Oh. And that's to say that, why is it that, you know, it's these, basically, why is it these same 19 apps that we see up here?
See, y'all, right there, that problem right there. So is it because other people don't know that the window is open to put in applications, or other people don't know how to submit applications, or that the CCPD funding department is not doing enough to get the word out that the funding is available?
I mean, communication is lack of, you know what I'm saying? Is lack of, you know, let the dead, you know, stay asleep, you know, as far as they're concerned. They, you know, they keep doing them, so they keep doing what they're doing, you know what I'm saying?
But see, you know, in my opinion, we got to have some tracking system somewhere, because if you're going to keep giving the same people the money, then we need to see how those people's programs is running so everybody else can get them a program like that as well. So if John Doe keeps getting money 5 years in a row, then we need to know what is John Doe doing with his program that's so successful, and how is John Doe spending his money on his program. I think that's a fair thing. I really do.
I mean, I agree with you 110% because, you know, I really was, sickened by them denying a peewee football program. We know what they, you know, them dudes put out a lot. Are they own personal money and, you know, try to keep these kids on the straight and narrow, and you know, especially children that don't belong to you, and deal with their, you know, parents. But a youth program is something that is, you know, that's needed to help these kids to get from point A to point B, you know, because them coaches deal with a lot of stuff. And for you to say no to a peewee football program, youth program, and you got these old, just like Brett was saying, these Maypop programs that we don't nobody know nothing about, can't see what you're doing, you know, community frontline, you know, you, only thing I know they ever done is show a movie and pass out some popcorn.
Exactly.
You know,
how's
that a program? You know,
see,
Malik is cracking jokes.
Do a little song and dance when the news crew come out.
Malik just trying to crack jokes over there. Y'all, let's stop. So my question is, you know, Reggie, do you think any of the city council people or people on the board or the group that sends the applications to the board, should they be connected to any of these organizations that are approved in any way? Can that be your mama, your sister, your brother? Can you be a city employee? Would that be fair?
You know, anything could be fair if they decide they want to open their minds up to actually try and do something. Like, I'm going to give you for an example. They were just talking about the city budget here for the city of Dallas. They're talking about somewhere over a nine-figure budget proposal for the police department alone. You're talking about at least $1 to $3 billion they have allocated for the police department to do what? You know, I mean, you can't be hollering about defund the police, because see, defund the police meant it meant to divert funds from the police department, but they throw so much money on the police department, which is why, that's part of the reason why the police department can get away with all these crimes that they do, and then they have everything paid up all the way up to the judges. You know, anytime they can take a case that's been already ratified by a judge and turn around on the last day before mediation or whatnot, throw the case out because three judges decided that they can hide behind qualified immunity. You know, that's something I had spoken with Terrence Hopkins with the Black Police Officers Association of for Dallas. He's gonna do a little segment tomorrow, Robert Ashley's show. And that was some of the things we talked about. Qualified immunity does not protect police officers that lie on police reports, assault people and then turn around and file a false criminal charge against them just to cover up the crimes that they do. But some way, somehow, a little sleight of hand here, a little greasy palm over there, a little call here, you know, just like it was talking about with Pope Both and John. How did Amber Geiger practically get away with murder for only doing 10 years for a crime that she clearly committed? You know, it's a scary, the power that we have entrusted the powers that be to do. And now they just have turned into their own dystopian type of society. And it's happening right in front of our eyes.
But see, for some reason, we've put police department up on a pedestal, and the people are below them. And I think that's where we began to lose balance in this whole police versus people, because police are supposed to be in a position of a public servant. And everything about the way this thing is planned, it's not happening. It's just not happening. And so even with the CCPD funding, you know, we keep giving so much of the budget to the police, and I just don't see that buying, you know, big old What do they call those cars that they were trying to get released? The big.
Toward them Humvees?
Yeah, those kind of things. But it was called a something cat.
Urban assault vehicle.
Why do we need that?
We don't.
They say about big boys want to have the big toys. So, I mean, when you have power-mad, power-driven people who hide behind the badge to bully people around, they like to intimidate. And that's all you're going to get one of those urban assault vehicles to do, is to intimidate people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it's all about. I mean, you know how much, I mean, I don't know, I ain't the smartest mofo in the world, but gas has not gone down since then, and they still got to ride around town running up their tail. So, but like I said, it's not coming out of their pocket. You know, there's a proposal I've been saying for a long time. Police officers need to be insured and bonded, so when they do their little cowboy stunts that they do and they get caught in them, that the taxpayers don't have to pay for it, their insurance can pay for it, the police officer's pension fund can pay for it.
Right.
That would deter police officers from trying to Hank Voight themselves over things by just brutalizing whomever, all in the sake of, in the interest of justice. We need to have accountability for that, but until somebody grows a pair and starts standing up to the police and quit punking out to them, even though even our own mayor that does the suck job that he does, we're never going to get anywhere. It's always going to be us losing. We're the ones getting murdered. We're the ones going to the grave behind these cops. If white folks were getting killed like we were getting killed, this thing would stop a long time.
By tomorrow. I'm positive
right
now, like, by tomorrow.
4 o'clock tonight. Official meeting.
Oh, they have a murder meeting right quick.
I agree.
I mean, I want to see a black cop put his knee on a white man's neck and see what happens to him.
I ain't going to do it.
If Bolton John was a police officer and he killed Amber Geiger in her apartment, in her underwear, eating ice cream, he wouldn't even made it to the jail.
No. Mm-mm.
But I think we got to realize that the CCPD funding, I mean, it's too much money being allocated, and it's not enough balance.
Who got the contracts? Look, who got the contracts?
Yeah.
They go back to the city manager. He the one who writes the checks. The old drunken white boy
from
North Carolina.
To play God.
Yep, and that's what they doing. But like I said, I can't entertain people that barely can read on 10th grade level. Mm-hmm. Them ain't real white boys to me.
Wow.
'Cause the cats I graduated with, Fortune 500 white boys. And they don't even entertain them type of white boys. Them white boys are angry in ways that they had all that privilege. And the only thing you could be is a cop.
But
so they show you where their mind is.
Why don't we spend some more of that CCPD funding on mental health counseling for these officers, anger management courses, diversity training, proper training on how to de-escalate situations. Why don't we just spend some of that CCPD funding money on that?
I mean, because they won't keep the filth going on.
Right.
They get rid of the good cops and keep all the retarded ones. That's high.
Okay. Just you remember when you asked that question to Leon Reed, how much money were they spending on Aaron Dean's legal fees? No, needless money getting wasted. Hmm?
But that's not CCPD funding. That's from their dues, their POA dues.
It's all twirled around. They siphon money from wherever they got to get it from, but they get it.
Oh, do. Sure do. Because I guarantee you, if we pull who wrote the check to that law firm, which we have a right to do, understand me up on the freedom of information, I guarantee you David Cook's name is on that check. I bet you that.
Oh, really? You think so?
I know so. He the one who run the police department. The mayor ain't their boss. David Cook is their boss.
See, but you know what? I think the whole...
The mayor's just a figurehead. The city manager controls everything.
We're the city manager type of government here in Fort Worth. I agree. And, you know, the thing is, everything is hush-hush when it comes to money in Fort Worth. You start asking questions about how the money is being moved, and that's when you hit a brick wall. Nobody wants to discuss money, even though billions and billions of dollars are moved through this city every month. They don't want to talk about the money part of it. And CCPD funding, when you get through, it's not being allocated fairly. I mean, you think about the redistricting and how we just created two new districts because they wanted a brown person or Hispanic person, I'll say, to represent those districts. Are we making sure that enough of this CCPD money is being allocated to brown communities and black communities? Are we doing that?
No.
I doubt it. That part.
The band put them on the floor.
Uh-huh.
But that bill need a $6 million generator.
Really? What are you gonna do with it? So, was that part of the CCPD funding that was supposed to come from?
That's what he put up there to get approved.
Now, yo, where? That's like a bionic man. Where is a $6 million generator, and what does it do? I mean, because if it don't talk, cook, feed me, pay the rent, I don't know why I need it. $6 million is a lot of money.
I'm not
true that.
It don't take it. They got generators that could power up that building right there off in that maintenance yard. They're sitting over there.
Wow. Thomas said he's trying to call in and he's getting a weird message. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Interesting. I don't know. But, you know, in my opinion, it's like, you know, when somebody gives you a blank check, you feel like, wow, I hit the lottery. So you don't have any concept of I can't, you know, do this or I can't do that because you got a blank check. Well, that's what it sounds like we must be giving to the police department if they're asking for a $6 million generator. That sounds like giving somebody a blank check. Because
well,
I don't know.
How is that money not generated to first responders? I know. They just didn't bypass the fire department. None of them. They ain't even part of the equation.
What a $6 million.
Speaking of that, one of the things I think we definitely need to look into, I think we talked about this the other night, was that there needs to be a new emergency number to keep 911 from being jammed up. There needs to be like a 912 or something or something on that level. They need to have one for fire and medical emergencies, then the other one for the police department, because it's ridiculous that you call 911 and it actually goes to an answering service.
Really?
You know, that is something that is happening quite regularly.
You know, that's a thought. The CCPD funding should improve the 911 system. Have 911.
Back up. Wait a minute. That emergency is federal.
Uh-oh.
Right.
But they can't
just pass 911 for mental health emergencies.
Right. But thing of it is, you can always challenge policies based on petition as citizens.
Trolling Cosby has joined us.
Nothing to do with them. Like Brad was saying, they policies within themselves are raggedy. That's the only profession where they do all that old weird exotic stuff and don't go piss in the cup.
I agree.
Right.
Anything.
And I know in my profession of, you know, HVAC, and when you own those sites or equipment operators, you know, we got to understand that's not a thinking man's job.
Yeah.
They ain't required to think. That's why they act the way they do.
Well, that's why
if they
you
could
shoot
think,
first.
There wouldn't be no cops.
Right.
Well, you shoot first.
But it should be mandatory within a contract look, bro, you do something jacked up, I'm going to make you go piss in that cup. Another thing, them white boys and some of these Negroes, twice a year they can take that testosterone shot. Might as well say steroids. That's what drives them crazy. You got to see what drives them crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head on that, because that's another thing you do bring up. I mean, like, I know when I was working for Waste Management, if I drove my garbage truck and it ran up on the curb and the back tire smushed their front yard, I gotta go and take a
UA
urine test.
Yep.
Yeah, you gotta take a UA. But a cop shoots somebody 9 times at point blank range, they get a paid vacation. Are you kidding me?
Yep. You don't make that white boy go pay piss in that cup.
No.
Thomas Charlie, can you hear us?
I can. I can hear everybody.
Oh, good. Thomas has joined the conversation. I agree with y'all. I mean, it should be more urinalysis done. It should be more people going to talk to psychiatrists, too. There's a lot going on.
And another thing, too, they walk around with their lead. How much lead contamination these officers are getting a hold to? And that'll drive you crazy, mm-hmm. too. That's one of the services. Mm-hmm. And they always go into the range. I know they do. So all that needs to be, you got to find out what's driving them crazy.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Thomas, you were in the CCPD funding meeting the other night. You wanted to speak. Malik, I don't know if you knew Thomas was trying to, and they wouldn't let him
there.
Speak.
I was there.
Thomas, tell us what happened.
Well, I got to speak, but, I mean, people think this is a technicality, but it's pretty – the reality is I was the only person who signed up. But that's because they make it real difficult to even figure out what the process is in order to sign up. It's not like signing up for city council. I mean, the truth is there's dozens, if not hundreds, of activists that are interested in the CCPD stuff, and they're certainly critical of different programs or line items. But the real troubling thing was, is even though I did get to speak at the very end of the meeting, not only did they not follow open public meeting law, they don't even care to. I mean, theoretically, someone could stand up there in 3 minutes, point out something that should make them table the whole vote or
right.
postpone for a week or a few days because of
right.
some ethical issue or some math mistake or some tax law. And what they do is, by law, they're supposed to hear from the public before they vote on the dang thing. And instead,
that is true.
They made a motion and a second, and the chair, which is Carlos Flores, asked for the vote, and of course they voted unanimously. And I don't think that little me is necessarily going to get up there and change, you know, 9 minds. But it's not just a principle thing here. Right, because. Because it could have been 100 people that signed up, and 90 of them might have been on the same page on a critical issue, and they have to pay attention to that. But if they've already voted to send it to the main city council, then people signing up to speak at public comment is a complete waste of time.
Wow.
I mean, no matter why you're waiting your turn to take those 3 minutes, theoretically it could be really important. And, you know, it's their total disregard for following the rules or the law, even on this real simple thing that's troubling. And this is $140 million. Don't let them tell you it's 80 or 85. And in 3 minutes, I was only able to point out that the chief and his staff focused on $42 million of it. Half of that time was spent on the charitable chunk, which is around $4 to $6 million, where outside agencies do programs. You know, good or bad or mediocre. And then they just gloss over the other $60 million in spending by not explaining a single expenditure. And the thing that was the whopper that jumped out at me was the need for a generator at the Felix Street.
Oh, yeah.
I think they do need it. I mean, they need a generator. I mean, just like hospitals and nursing homes and big hotels need generators. But I guarantee you they don't need a $6 million generator.
No, they got – I can go in a utility yard and point out a generator that will power up that whole building. They got them.
Right, Yeah, and even with some construction costs and installing and commercial electrical costs to make it, you know, compatible with the system, if, you know, that goes off the grid, still you're talking, you know, maybe $600,000. And so it makes you wonder. I mean, honestly, because I used to be in a
they got employees that could hook that thing up.
Yeah.
That can make it, that can power up based on what they already have. That's what I'm saying, Thomas, because I come from that field. I know it take that thing.
Yeah. And they can do the tour.
It's a matter of switches that it almost like your alarm system that has the battery pack off and that power thing on, that alarm system still running, that battery automatically kicks in by what the board tells them, the computer board tells us to do. So it's all about programming and how they got their stuff, man. They know how to make their stuff work. You know what, I'm spending that $6 million, man. They full of crap. They full of crap.
I'm going to open the phone line to Frederick Lewis. Good evening, Frederick. So you mean to tell me that, first of all, do we know who sells the $6 million generator?
Well, I'm sure there's some outfit somewhere.
The $6 million generator is going to consist of some form of a diesel, locomotive diesel type of setup that's what you like Thomas was saying, that you see on some of those hospitals. That's the type of system the cat talking about.
Yeah, but you could put two of them in side by side so you got redundancy in case one fails. And the point is those don't cost $1 million a pop. $6 million would buy you. No, $6 million.
What was the square footage of that building? That building probably what, 10,000 square feet at most.
Yeah, I think it's about 10,000 square feet. It's got computers,
and
lighting.
Hey, Thomas, I guarantee you don't call for that, bro.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you could build a small power plant. You could build a 2-megawatt power plant for $6 million. And so, I mean, the point is nobody even questioned it. I don't want to just dwell on that one, but the point is that's a whopper of an exaggeration. So how many other line items are whoppers, you know?
Did you catch when they said they had this mystery review board that reviews the application before they go up to the board members?
Yeah.
Who are those people?
I don't know. I mean, it's the same as it's like the Office of Police Oversight. I mean,
yo. Good evening, Frederick. How are you? Can you hear me? Good evening, Frederick.
Good evening. I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Oh, good evening. Are you seeing CDC funding, and what are your thoughts?
I am not that familiar with it. I have talked to some line, some officers on the patrol division, and some of the things that they got a chance to do, like boxing classes and whatnot, to interact with the kids. And I did see some of the positive effects there, but I had not heard anything about a $6 million generator and them thinking that we would swallow that, you know, without some protest.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell from my experience in a smaller town, the city manager's brother-in-law who did this. It's already been approved? Oh, my.
No, it hadn't been approved because it's zero. Okay. That's what they asked before they had approved.
Okay. Well, that needs to be brought to the proper people's attention.
Yeah, the committee approved the budget as a whole, and now it's going back to the city council, which is, of course, the exact same human. But yeah, the entire thing was voted out of the CCPD committee. That's why they're not going to have a meeting for 3 months. And so the $6 million is just one line item. I mean, basically, and then some of the programs are vague. Like, we know some of the tried and true programs are going to get their money, and then the rest of the programs have to do an application process, but they got an earmarked chunk for that. But y'all, that's $5 million at the most combined, and I'm telling you, it's going to gross $135-140 million. So half of what they looked at the other day wasn't even discussed. There was about 115 new jobs, 115 new positions, all specialists that the police department was recommending with no salaries. There wasn't a salary for a job classification or you know, labor burden or any of those kind of numbers. They just listed all the jobs they wanted.
You see, everything is so vague when it comes to money around here.
Well, the thing about it is they take the bag of money from the POA. So they come over here and window dress this bullshit-ass conversation. And they ain't gonna go against the golden rule. When you take the bag from them folks, they go along to get along and find ways to get means. This budget is really about them getting some form of money out of what's going on. I say you got to look, not per se look at the money, but look at the contracts. Who these contracts? Dumb Dumb, he told on himself. Twinkle Toes Crane. Was talking about Exxon and the contract they got with Exxon. Oh yeah, I went down there and I did the virtual stuff. Da 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 da. Oh, so you went down there and then you come back as a salesman to sell the rest of the council that this is a great thing to have without any form of maintenance audit to see what's broke, what needs to be fixed or replaced before y'all just say, hey, here it is. There you go. You need it. You know, these kids that we got on this council, man, some of them ain't going to make it, especially one that represent my district. So I hope Christina Nettles listening. So don't cross the bridge over there in Highland Hills. I'm dead serious on that. What you're not going to do is disrespect my elders and take us as a joke over there. So that's what you would not do. So I'm on the quest to remove one of them. So don't get it done. I ain't no loser. But, so we got to, you know, just have those hard conversations, stand our ground as citizens to say, hey, man, the way you walk in, the way we can walk you out. That's our main weapon is our right to vote and get rid of the stuff that we disagree with.
Yeah. Well, remember that this CCPD money is supplemental money to the core police budget. The regular city budget already spends money on all the regular stuff. This is a giant wish list. And many other cities don't do this. Basically, it's a sales tax, a sliver of the sales tax that piles up to become $140 million and maybe grow even more each succeeding year. And so the problem is that most other large cities, they use this money for all kinds of other things. The most common thing they use it for is transit expansion. They don't have CCPD funds.
Mm.
They use property taxes as maybe 1/3 to 40% of the city budget that goes to public safety, including law enforcement and fire. We're still using 30 to 40% of the budget on that. And then we got this tax that nearly doubles that budget. Plus, they take every grant and free piece of equipment. And, you know, I mean, I got a check from some kids last week for $100,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter. For example, they build a budget, and it's a 10-year program based on the understanding that it would revenue about $80 million the first year, $85 the second year, maybe $87 to $90 the third year. But instead, the first year, they made $117. Now it's looking more like $130 or $140 for this fiscal year that starts, you know, October 1st. So
who's treating $140 million like pocket change and just basically giving it to our friends and whoever? I mean, is that what we're saying?
Most of it goes to the police department. It doesn't even go to those charities that are community-based. Yeah, so the police department's attitude is they're entitled to all of it, and they get to hand out the $4 to $6 million chunk that they hand out to community groups or churches, you know, strong programs, medium programs, weak programs. That's candy that they get to hand out at Halloween.
Wow.
I mean, it really is compared to what they're. I mean, when you see, you know, funding for crosswalk guards and. Not that you don't need crosswalk guards, but they ought to come out of regular budget stuff, or school districts should be sharing it with the city. Or all I'm saying
is that crosswalk thing, I know for a fact that comes from 405SD, because where they check come from, it don't come from the city.
But they're basically through in everything but the kitchen sink, because they're allowed to, and they're the ones preparing the proposal, and then the CCPD committee, which is the city council, just goes along with whatever the police propose.
What's the thing over there? Yeah. They gonna eat off the back end though. Thomas, look at the contracts, bro.
I know.
You think them old dumb folks down there, them officers that smart to float that the way they? No, not that bunch. You got like them dudes graduated from Harvard or Yale University. They make them type of cats. No.
Well, yeah.
So the salespeople. I'm looking at the big picture. Who is the gatekeeper? The city manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who's the gatekeeper. I'm looking dead at who controls the police department? The city manager. Don't let him move unless David Cook say so. And he just, it's all a game. It's a bunch of jobs. You know, they got it right. You know, they the ones who trade the algorithms and try to sell it to us. They take their little money out the back end like they've been doing. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's just one big hamster wheel. And now, you know, the COVID situation made everybody stop and think. And now everybody's breathing down their back, understand me, behind what they're doing. And people are tired of them. You know, nobody likes getting ripped off. And that's what they need to understand. You know, y'all, like we, some oxymorons, don't know what we're talking about. And so we not, because we challenge you, if you don't like it, what can you do? You can't do nothing to me. I'm a grown man. Wish you would.
Yeah. Well, this is why they don't want.
Go ahead.
This is why they don't want scrutiny, and why they reluctantly have to have the public comment meeting, but they hope nobody hears it. I mean, you know, three or four people come in there with any kind of critical thinking, and you notice there's no media there. Whether the media sucks up or not, there's no media there. Even if you go in there and make a good point during the public comment. I mean, it is by design as much as possible. And most of those big budget items, it is the contractors or the suppliers that are coaching the police department on how to write the I mean,
I'm saying this, Thomas, is because I've literally caught David Cook at the Silver Leaf Cigar Lounge making some, what's that? Cascom, making a deal with Cascom. You know, he is a sideways drunk. You know, if you get what I'm saying. You know, he get drunk and he start walking sideways. And that's, he is a hopeless drunk. And that's how he operate. But trust and believe, and money to be gained. If you look at David Cook's track record, he's never been a city manager. He was a small town, maybe 100-something thousand, but Wake County, North Carolina. That's where that man come from. That man was a commissioner, and he was corrupt there. And I don't know why we brought his corrupt tail here, but he's here. But you know him. Anybody drunk, you know. I'm sorry. No. And that's what we're dealing with. But his money, he got his hands on all the money because he, whatever going on, he writes the checks, Brother Thomas. And that's just a fact, bro. Everything come through that city manager. And trust and believe, he eating good. He chunk Maddie a little half a piece of steak, and the city councilman, he trickles on down. And that this budget is about, really not about us, it's about them. How they going to write themselves in the budget. That's what it's really about.
That's right.
And they're doing it through the CCPD.
Yeah. Well, we can't talk about it tonight, but I found some documentation that involves some of the bigger assistant city managers in David Cook and the county administrator and the PRW. And when you realize they're having these secret meetings at the Jackson Walker Law Firm, they're having secret meetings with the business communities at TCC, and we're not allowed in those rooms. I mean, we probably get chased off even though it's public space. But what was interesting is I accidentally came across some emails where, like, Dana Birddog, one of the assistant city managers, she's making promises the city's going to pay $100,000 for consultants, and she can talk four other governments into kicking in their own $100,000 for some consultants that nobody names and don't explain what the purpose of them are. And it has to do with that boondoggle stuff. And what I realized is they're doing all kinds of wheeling and dealing that's not being discussed in a public meeting where the public can comment on it by the millions of dollars.
I told you, carried them on classified meetings.
This is really weird because, you know what? I mean, when you really think about it, they, I mean, even down to the CCPD funding, When have they had a public meeting to tell people how to do this? They don't even come out into the community.
That's what we was in the meeting, man. When I talked to Keith, I said, I've never seen, even on your job application, if you make a mistake, they at least, even if you, any application that you fill out, if you make a mistake, they'll take time as customer service agents and say, hey, you need to fill this in, or you didn't answer this question, X, Y, Z. If you need help, here's somebody that can help you. And so wise in that, they don't have the same practice, and that's what I got the Keith dude number, Kerry, that we all can call and set up a meeting. He's over the budget. He's a new guy. You know what I'm talking about, Thomas?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that dude right there. I mean, you know, me and him went around because of that. You know, they denied the Pee Wee football team. I said, man, you out your mind. Who does that?
Yeah.
Who does that?
I mean, because of the movie. Well, one thing that's amazing, that's the guy who builds all those Prezi or PowerPoint slides. Then he just stands up there for about 40 minutes and reads the bullet points.
He
couldn't explain the statistics. Most of the numbers and the percentages that he presents on any category, he has no data that he could explain to back it up. It's they're pulling out of his rear end. And so, you know, I mean, in other words, a lot of times they'll say, well, this program was 73% more effective than last year. Well, how did you get 73%, and 73% of what number? I mean, it's clear that either the city council doesn't understand that it's a BS job, or most of the police that are presenting this data and these slides, they have no idea. They couldn't explain if they got a serious question on a particular program or.
Nope.
They have no idea.
Thomas, you know, the weird thing about this city, I watch the school board meetings all the time, and them people come out there with vengeance. I don't know why in the heck we not coming out with vengeance when it comes to our city so-called leadership of that council. But on that board, I mean, you can hear the hissing and going off and snapping and you finna get up out of here. We don't want you. You ain't finna run nothing. Da 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 da. When you come reelected, you out of here. You finna go. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to this, we take this one as laying down. But you know, but like I tell Kerry, I'm finna fire up the pot. It's time to crack the concrete. So
I think we should.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't scared of them, so I ain't worried about it.
But I think we all should, you know, ask more questions, because if you're not familiar with the CCPD funding, you have to be a nonprofit, first of all. And if you're not a nonprofit, you can go under somebody else's nonprofit until your nonprofit status comes through.
That is correct.
Why do you have to be a nonprofit? I mean, why can't it be as long as it's addressing the problem, and that's
they always want to. That's for tax purposes. You know, when you are a nonprofit, you know, you can get donations from outside entities that want to, you know, for write offs. You know what I'm saying? No matter what we do, whatever you call it, we all gonna pay these taxes. We all part of this filth. You know, I don't care. Whatever we do, we go buy gas as a tax. You know, you go to the grocery store, they tax us. And we pay for that type of horrible, horrible performance out of these people because we tolerate it. But things that we, just like Thomas doing, is we got to look at policies. Policies are not statute of law. We can challenge your policies, and we got a right to do it. This ain't working for us. You need to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if it takes so much getting in front of a federal judge, the judge, nine times ten, going to side with the people.
But you know what? I mean, you say it like that. Thomas goes up there every week and addresses policy. And what do? They shoot him down one comment at a time. I mean, every single time they shoot him down. Am I not right, Thomas? You go up there, you address an issue, and they shoot you down?
Yeah. And
the thing about it is what Thomas don't do to keep from him getting interrupted, as you do on the House floor, Thomas needs to state allocated time. And also state, at no given time do I yield the floor. until my 3 minutes is up.
Remember, Thomas, when you said we're David and you're Goliath, and she said you're done, and then you said something.
Yeah, what, you ain't listening to what I'm saying, Kerry. By article, if he states that first, she can't cut him off because he ain't yielded his slip. His time belongs to him, not them. That's how it works.
I'm not finished. Yeah. Didn't you say I'm not finished, Thomas?
Yeah, that's right. And
it's
that,
the language,
is,
Kerry. It's the language
yeah.
you got to beat them with. It's
okay.
the
yeah.
language. Thomas, if Thomas stated, my name is Thomas, he stated his first name, my allocated time is 3 minutes at any given time. I do not yield the floor until my 3 minutes is up. That means mm-hmm. that pins them down. They have to listen to him because
yeah.
he has the floor.
Yeah.
Thomas, you believe that?
When I grew up, I'll show you how it worked. And they dare not say nothing to me. And they didn't say nothing to me last time. And they ain't going to say nothing to me. Other than listen what I got to say out my mouth.
Yeah. That's the problem is they made rules. And we all know there's a difference between the law and rules and procedures. And
correct.
The rules and procedures fall. Those are their rules and procedures to govern them or regulate their behavior.
Exactly.
We're supposed to follow the law, and the state legislator made it clear that whatever you prescribe the time is, like this council says, you get 3 minutes. You get 3 minutes
exactly.
when you sign up to a pre-posted agenda item, and you get 3 minutes during general comment. Unless they change
correct.
Those rules and remain reasonable, they need to let people have their 3 minutes. The problem is they don't think the law applies to them on all kinds of issues. I mean, you're right, but we shouldn't have to get up there and go, you know, we're grown-ups and we should be able to be civil and take our turn.
I agree.
We shouldn't have to say, I reserve my 3 minutes and I'm going to give you 3 minutes in my perspective, and I don't want to be interrupted. But
I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. When you read any article in America, when public comment and that allocated time, and you look the person – look into the person, the writer, the actual writer who wrote that stuff, and it tells you, and he explains to you what that time is allocated for and why, and what the how the council is really supposed to conduct themselves as you are making complaints or
yeah.
expressing your opinion or trying to fix something to help the citizens. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, that's based on the U.S. Constitution. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you raise your right hand up and took an oath on it. So what Thomas is saying that I'm holding what you were sworn in by. If you're going to break
yeah.
your oath,
they,
we got a solution. You just can quit.
Somewhere along the way, and especially the three lawyers on the council, I think they think their job is to just discuss the things that are important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I do
correct.
Think this happens in county commissioner court and other places too. They assume that nothing the public's going to say has any value to them compared to what they have to say. And I mean, this is a real bad disconnect, first of all. But secondly, what they're saying is that we value what you have to say so little
yep.
that we rearrange the schedule. We do it every other week. Yeah, and so and
I ain't
every
never seen
bit of
like this, man. Them kids, something else up there, boy. I'm like, man.
Yeah, they're like middle school kids.
I want to say that you know it's winding down. They on the clock, and they
yeah.
finna get off the clock.
That's right, and I think that's a reality that they didn't. You know, they should have gotten a really good takeaway when they lost the pay raise vote.
Exactly.
They didn't even try to find out from the 50-something percent of the people who voted against them why they vote against them. They kind of guessed what the issue was. Because, you know, it would have been reasonable to get a raise, but you didn't even figure out, you didn't know your audience enough to even ask or sell it in a way that they would vote for it. And so here, I think, for the Kerry Moons of the world, I mean, he's off the council. But don't think he's not in the middle of stuff in the back rooms, especially when it comes to CCP.
Oh, yeah. Twinkle, he's sneaking in the can all.
Yeah. And the thing is he left a 10-year legacy with this CCPD funding. And that's a real tough thing because that usurps the next four city councils. If we replaced everybody every 2 years, then the next sets of people have no say on this tax. It's perpetuating for unless we have a new vote and we take it away.
In acts of petition, which they have to be addressed by, yeah. The articles of things that we don't like. And like I said, you get in front of that judge, who you think the judge is going to sign by? The council or the people?
But every fiscal year, the police are asking for 20% more police positions, jobs, more police officer association members,
That should be based on that. See, this is the job they pull, man. They hike up the crime rate.
Yeah.
This is the reason why we need this, and this. It's the oldest, man, we beyond that, bro. We know what y'all doing and why you're doing it. So anytime they want some more money, they go to that old rusty playbook and let the crime rate go up.
Yeah. Well, that's
why they going to secret meeting, unclassified meeting. Why my crime rate over here? Well, I don't have enough officers. We don't have enough equipment. Mm-hmm. You get this hot tech morning like we express for you. That's why we can't do our jobs effectively.
Yeah, we need more equipment.
Let me break in. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Terry Hines, your host. Tonight we're talking about CCPD funding. Is the city of Fort Worth allocating the funding properly or fairly? If you have a question or a comment tonight, call in at 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. That's 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. We're going to go to 682-337. Good evening,
Hey, Carrie, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. And good evening to Thomas and to your guest. I was just thinking about regarding the CCPD funding. I don't know much in depthness about it, but from what I'm hearing, I do feel like there might be some conflicts of interest in. My biggest gripe has been, as far as the council members are concerned, I think this is where the issue is with anything pertaining to city business, is when we have city council members appointed to these various boards. You know what I'm saying? I think with council members sitting on boards throughout the city in various, entities, this creates a conflict of interest. Because you'll be holding to not only your duties as a council member, but you also become beholden to the duties as this quote-unquote board member. And I feel like those board appointments, anybody who sits on the board, they don't do it willy-nilly. You know what I'm saying? We know they don't do it willy-nilly. But I do feel like it's a way for them to get more money in their pockets. Nobody talks about that, but I feel like it's another way for them to get more money in their pockets. And then I feel like as council members, they have a tendency to look the other way on certain things if they are part of a certain board. If that if the particular board they sit on has any kind of business with the city, so I think if we could. Look at that aspect. The CCPD is just a big conflict of interest. And think about this also, Carrie. Think about this also. Mm-hmm. We give you something, but you can still turn around and use it against me. Case in point, Beck Nettles and Williams months ago when they first got onto the council. I mean, when they had voted down the funds allocated for the Bearcat or whatever. Police Officers Association bully do? He went on the attack. He went on the attack. So that's what I feel like the conflict is. And as an elected council member myself, I'm speaking into existence. I would not take any board appointments. I would not, and I would let it be known from day one. I don't want to be appointed to no type of boards because I feel like that'll create a conflict of interest. It'll tie my hands up from doing my job or holding people accountable. So I think with the CCPD funding, I think that's where one of the issues lies. And I'm going to say this is my last statement because I'm at work. I just got to work, but I was able to call in on this phone. I think with the organizations you all spoke on that have continued to get the funding, I just think that they possibly just, you know, they possibly have proven themselves over time, space, nobody knows, because if you don't know the inner workings of these particular organizations of who the relationship, then, you know, let me finish my thoughts, sir. I'm making a comment. So the 19 or so organizations that were spoken of, I feel like it's a possibility that they if y'all say the same ones are doing it, then apparently it's something they're doing. They know the ins and outs on. Why not find out what it is they're doing or not doing to get the funding, you know? I mean, and thank you for taking my call, Kira. I'll continue listening. Thank you for taking my call.
I agree. You know what? I have a thought.
That's one of my cousins is on legacy type of calls.
Okay.
And I hope you're listening. Like, we don't know who you tied to. Anyway, so I know his angle. You know what I'm saying? But we going to move forward on that. We know, just like Bruh said, Reggie said, the people who are getting that money are the ones that are going to do exactly what they say do for their own personal gain. And if you're doing something, if I coach Pee Wee football, and my objective is to win football games, which I've done, I can't call myself a Pee Wee football coach if I'm not producing. So we already had that discussion. We should be able to see, like you said, once folks care. We should be able to look this up and see what you're doing. Thomas has said it. Everybody on here has said it. That's on the panel. We should be able to see their work.
You know what? I agree. Let me say something that I think is going on with the city council. I think, in my opinion, that the lines between the police department and the city council, they keep crossing too much. In my opinion, a city council member who has received POA funding for their campaign should not be voting on police issues. I think that's a conflict of interest.
I agree.
I think, and the same with this CCPD funding, these people that are getting campaign donations, I don't think that they should be, I don't know, I just think the CCPD situation and the city council should not be together. I just really think that that's just way too much. I mean, they say they're overworked. Then take that off of your shoulders. Allocate that to some other people. Appoint a board.
It one while in the beginning years ago, it was a citizen control thing.
Yeah.
See, I think when Kelly first came through there, they took it away.
Oh.
Because some inappropriate, you know, fundings. I guess they didn't. I don't know. It the money got out of whack. People were doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing.
Well, when the legislature allowed the city of Fort Worth to create a special taxing district, almost like
right.
a separate government entity.
Right.
We're even cheating still because the rule is that the people on the board have to be elected representatives of the people. So instead of having a board that's elected by the people for those 9 seats, or it could be 7 seats or 12 seats or whatever, instead of doing that, they just said, well, we'll just serve ourselves on the CCPD board, therefore we're elected officials, and then we're accountable to the people. So they're really, it's like they're wearing 2 hats in 2 elected positions, but they only had to run for office for one of them.
But it is same with the redistricting, though, which is where we're doing everything.
Yeah.
But
well, at least that's legislated and part of it. You're right, though, but the thing is, yeah, they don't want to give up control of almost anything, you know? I mean, if you notice, though, there are some commissions and committees, they're more than happy to let somebody else take the heat on. And the toughest
right.
one is that Civil Service Commission, which they haven't filled any of the slots. You know, they had three vacancies out of three seats. The Civil Service Commission is a thankless job, and you got to keep the city council happy, and you got to keep the Police Officer Association and the Firefighter Association happy too. That's why those people keep getting hired back. And so you don't see three of the city council members volunteering to be on the Civil Service Commission because it's terrible politics. So the only real reason they stay on the CCPD board is because of how much money it is and how much they're basically buying favor with the Police Officers Association.
Wow.
That's what they
because
do.
The more they give the police, the less the police are going to give them heat about stuff. The more they give the police, the less the police are going to run a different candidate against them.
Right.
Oh.
They got the money to do it, though.
Yeah, the charitable chunk that goes to the community-based programs, some of those programs are useful and effective. And you can have a debate over which ones are stronger or weaker, which ones are, you know, nonsense. But that's all of it is window dressing. The police department made an unholy alliance with the city council, and they said, give us this giant tax revenue stream called CCPD funding, a percentage of the sales tax. It'll be then $100 million plus, and to keep everybody distracted, we'll put about $5 or $6 million of it in the community-based programs that we think reduces crime. But the rest of the money needs to go to salaries, training, and more and more and more equipment. And don't ask any questions about it. And so, yeah, and if it's a youth program and it's run by big brothers and big sisters, it's real easy to make the police look good because they're the ones that funded that program or a football program or a night program at a basketball center. It doesn't matter. This makes the general public is distracted by those programs and isn't noticing all the hardware that's being bought.
The police department has become very distasteful in communities to where, you know, I think some of that, like Carrie was saying, for mental health issues and other things, because when Wendy was here, a lot of that stuff, community-based stuff, was real, was going on. Mm-hmm. And then they got real exotic with Halstead, you know. And then, you know, Fitzgerald, he didn't get to implement some of the things that he had because, you know, he busted them doing some crooked stuff, and we can't forget that. And a lot of that money was... They were stealing was tied to that CCPD fund.
Let me say something about this council, and I'll put this on the record, y'all, because whatever I say behind your back, I'll say to your face. But this council, in my opinion, wears their feelings on their sleeve. If they don't like you, you know it. So it's very likely that if they don't like you, you won't get the CCPD funding. And I think that's a sad thing to say, but I really feel like that's the case. Which is unfortunate, but I believe that. So if you have stepped on their toes or said something they don't like, you know, you probably won't get approved for CCPD funding. And that is not the way it should be. So that's one reason I don't think this council should be on the board of CCPD funding, because I've seen how they retaliate against people that they don't like. And I think that's unfortunate for council.
Well, like I said, there should be elected citizen review board over that. If they do choose to have one, watch it. First, they ain't going to holler, well, we should be able to pick the people we want on the board in my district, da-da-da-da-da. No, let us elect who we want, you know what I'm saying, to be on this board. That belongs to the citizens. I think some things they need to be checked about and continuously checked about. And like I said, our biggest authority is their voting power to remove that person does not have our best interest. And that's just point blank. That's why I can't spend a whole bunch of energy on that mess, because I know one thing I do come time to vote, I can get rid of you. That way you almost mess up off of
you. Let me piggyback off that. Dear city council people who are up for election next year, a lot of people are going to put in for this funding. And if you all treat everybody badly who you don't like and don't give them funding, remember, you're up for election next year. I mean, and that's just FYI.
I mean, that's what I'm looking at.
You treat people bad, they may not vote for you next time. I'm just saying. You know?
All that go with this, sis. Like we talk about it all the time. All that go with it.
Yeah.
You created the atmosphere.
I mean, be careful not to throw a stone and then don't expect one to come back if, you know you do people wrong this time.
But the thing of it is, this is going to be the kicker, though. Mm. You know, it's still going to be in the heat of the Tatiana Jefferson thing.
That part.
And that's going to be Taylor the Tape 2 kid. That case gonna turn, could possibly turn this city up, all the way upside worse than what we ever seen for ever be. And you know, we still got Brother Fitzgerald case hitting, so they got two things banging, stepping on their throat. You know,
and remember that the council was flipped to begin with because people were very dissatisfied with how Tatiana's situation was handled to begin with. Remember. That's
yep.
the original reason so many people do.
When we take off, Jerry, you keep on the air and you keep full throttle.
Well, I'm going to try.
What I've seen this past summer, this past July, out of my younger comrades, Jerry, I'm telling you, that bus right there, do not care.
Wow.
I'm serious, sis.
Wow.
They don't care, and they not scary, and they ain't backing back.
And we see that with the influx of teen shootings right here in Fort Worth.
That's what
I'm
talking about. They don't care.
Yeah.
What I saw this past summer, them shooting bottle rockets and Roman candles at our people who our civil service people.
Wow.
You them young dudes, they don't care. They wasn't caring, kid. They wasn't caring.
Wow.
And I think on this one, it's going to escalate because they waited too long to get rid of this, you know, this murderer. I don't understand. You know, Sharon played the game to where she can dance her way all the way up out of it, and whoever the next DA, whoever it may be, is going to fall right in their lap.
I agree because the next person comes in office in January, and Sharon Wilson, will be going out in January, so there's no telling what would happen. But y'all, let me ask a question. Should we be having the citizens have some role in getting the CCTV funding? Should we have some type of lottery where everybody gets a fair shake at possibly getting
I agree, and that's something that we need to, as citizens in petition, we have a right to do. That we should have a hand and a say on everything that we are paying for, and them as council should present it to the people for our opinion or our thoughts. That's their job,
right? And I think, you know what? Why can't there be a lottery so that at least everybody who submits an application that's filled out properly and has the quite right credentials and everything, that at least they have a shot at it. But, I mean, if there's some cherry picking going on where, you know, you're not going to be picked for little silly reasons because I don't like you, or, you know, you and my sister had, you know, a spat, or you got a job that my cousin wanted.
Hold on,
Yeah, well, we can't have that. I mean, we really can't have that. And so I think there needs to be a fairer process and a more transparent process with the CPPD funding. We need to know why people were denied. We need to know who was getting picked and why are they getting picked and that type of thing, so that it's a fair process for everyone involved.
Gina said something like to that effect, and you know, Chris kind of touched on it a little bit. You know, how y'all coming up? You know, what is y'all reviewing process? I mean, how y'all? And that's what threw me, is that you asking folks about applications, and y'all on the board, I thought y'all looking at applications to say yay or nay, or, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what threw me.
Yeah. Well,
the people who
I also think that I think there needs to be kind of an equity concept when it comes to the types of applicants, because the big organizations that get grant money from all kinds of sources and do their own fundraising, I mean,
right.
Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and Catholic Charities, and all those, they do good stuff. They got their own professional grant writers on staff. Whereas
so
some neighborhood set of people have a great idea, but they're like a startup, and they may be good at running a program or developing a program that's good to keep kids involved or whatever. It's not fair for them to be competing applicant-wise with these, you know, charities that United Way or whatever that have, you know, 100 staffers. So the application process, it almost should be like two kinds of Shark Tank, but instead of for for-profit things, for nonprofits that meet the mission of the community policing concept. And so
I don't understand why United Way will be even taking any, especially Catholic Charities. You know, they could, you know that's so big. You know, the Catholic community,
right? But they're really good at going to all kinds of other outside sources and getting 50 or 100 grand. And
sure,
so,
right.
What I'm saying is, if there's somebody over on Las Vegas Trail that wants to try a program that gets, you know, the community involved or kids or whatever, and somebody has a different concept in Southeast Fort Worth, they don't stand a chance against the big, you know, 800-pound gorilla organizations. And that's not just personal politics. So they should be earmarking like $1 million of the dollars should be for 20, like seed money for like the Colonel program. And 20 different startup ideas should get a one-time grant of $50,000 or something like that. And they still have to be screened and have a criteria, but they shouldn't be being matched up against some giant charity that's been in business for 50 years or longer.
I'm going to say this. If you got $1 million and you got 1,000 people who want part of that pie, why give some people $300,000 and other people nothing?
That's why give them, like, make it almost like the freshman class of charitable ideas, and they get a one-year grant that's renewable if they go back in front of a committee or screening board and show their results after one fiscal year.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I'm saying. If they force them, you know, just like they keep doing, I'm going to force them. No, bro, it needs to be a tutorial in some type of form on general breakdowns based on what we, just like the things that Thomas said, on how this should go. You know, that's more suitable for the citizens to watch college.
Yeah.
And number one, we also could put that by petition, Thomas. You know, we can put that on the ballot.
Yeah. Well, you also,
we need to be
the idea that people are doing experimental programs in one part of the city. After 1 year or 2 years, that you evaluate them, and lo and behold, 10 of them are great ideas, and we ought to be doing them in 10 places. And so
you have to kind of tailor it based on what district that you're in, because one shoe don't fit all.
Right, but
usually
sometimes
if you live in District 8 or district whatever you live in, look at the needs and the wants of the people, man.
Right. Well, I know, but if the screening committee in District 8 is 3 to 5 citizens that live in District 8, and they're screening the programs that are applying in District 8, you're probably going to get a lot better, you know, review board than having the 9 city council members or the police department decide which programs to fund.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with copycatting ideas that do work in more than one space. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a conversation that needs to be addressed and need to happen.
Yeah. Well, this is
– problem is the city doesn't want to hear your ideas. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you're not in the click, we don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we can just click them right on up out of their seat.
Yeah.
We can do some clicking. Click you right on by
the bureaucracy that the bureaucracy that's running this is the police department, and it is the clumsiest, least efficient, wasteful, most wasteful department in government. And we all know this, plus the corruption and non-accountability, and they got all kinds of things they do that we fund that are ineffective or that the people hate. And so they're the last people to be trying to decide, should we put money for this church's idea over here, or should we put money for this night daycare program?
Oh,
over
yeah,
here?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we got a chief that is not qualified for his position. They about to drive him crazy.
Yeah.
He's the only police chief I didn't see him walk around here with a beard. In the state of Texas.
You know,
and the chief that we had was clean shave.
Well, they made a morale thing, and decided to allow the officers to wear beards, and the chief's like one of the last ones to grow a beard.
Really?
I mean, if you check around, a whole lot of patrol male patrol officers grow beards, and because they're allowed to. Yeah, I know we're talking about what I'm saying is first he told everybody else they could get a beard if they wanted, then all of a sudden he decided it was a good idea too.
You know, one thing I'm gonna throw out there since we're talking about the police and CCPD funding, I think a large part of this money needs to be spent on diversity training, because someone brought something to my attention this week, and I really had never thought about it. As long as I lived in Fort Worth, I never paid any attention. And if it's the case, if you've seen it, please advise. But someone said, you can drive all over Fort Worth and you'll never see a black police officer in the car with a white police officer. If that is the case, shame on Fort Worth PD. And if that's the case, we need to take some of that CCPD funding and put it toward diversity training. Because if you wear a badge and a gun for the same department and you can't ride in the cars together, we're already in trouble. So
Gary,
that funding to retrain.
I'm going to stop. When you have those type of individuals with malice and hate in their heart, for a person that does not look like them, which this police department has been generated like this from the time they started, and they have not stopped, you are going
to
have nobody really. We don't send our kids to college, Carrie, to be cops, black, white, or indifferent. We don't do that. We're not going to spend $100,000 on our kids to be no cop. Rich folks don't do that. White, black, or indifferent. That's not in the playbook. So we are left with this low morale.
But we're asking for more and more money, but we can't even have officers who wear the same uniform to be in the same car. That means that the rank has got to be making the assignments. I do have sense enough to know that when you go to roll
call,
the assignment is made by the sergeant. So if the sergeant or the commander or whoever is not, he can't put a black and a white officer together, then there's a problem.
They'll go back to the union and go to crime, and that's caused, I mean, the union caused a dissension. You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of bigotry and hate in a lot of police departments. I mean, that's just how they generate. You know, if them brothers don't have enough sense to, as a grown man, to fight for your rights of being treated appropriately as a human being to do your job, that's on you. That is on you. Because there are laws in place, federal laws in place, certain things they can't do. And one thing that I know for a fact you can't do is create a hostile work environment. It is on that board. Anytime you feel like you discriminated against this and da-da-da, if they come at you, bro, hey, you just gonna have to learn to fight. Because I done talked to some officers way back in the early 70s.
that were Afro-American, and I know what they had to deal with. And you don't digress or let anybody dehumanize you for no reason or apparent reason. True enough, what you're saying is correct. But they definition, if you ain't been taught diversity, how are you expecting that individual to learn? If they part of their service.
You gotta understand these officers.
Hold on, kid. I look at these officers. Don't you know I can look at these, read them officer tattoos and see Aryan Viking tattoos, white supremacy tattoos. All them young white boys don't go bald out at the same time. Come on, man. I done seen their tattoos. So that's something that starts with from the police chief on down. If I was in those position, I'd make them dudes take their stuff off. If I catch you with any of that inflammatory tattoos, you're not going to be in my police department. That's leadership. If he ain't willing to fix it, that means that he's part of that sick disease.
I 100% agree, and I've even said it out loud at city council. I mean, check their tattoos. And people look at me like I'm an alien. And I'm like,
you're right. You're telling the truth.
Pretty basic, because if you're going to find out they're Oath Keepers or Proud Boys, which some of them are.
All that's in there.
Yeah, that's all right. Right. And you know, I mean, then it goes to, you know, a bigger and bigger percentage of the police department is Latino. Not a high enough percentage relative to the population. But Manuel Mata is right about this. When he's out there filming in his neighborhood, which is like 90% Latino folks, and most of them are poor,
right?
You don't see a Latino cop. They exist in the city, but they're not patrolling his neighborhood.
Wow. No, that should be the makeup of any division. And you're right, Thomas. And then think of it is.
They're shipping every white cop that screwed up somewhere else, usually with people of color, to the Central Division Beach.
Hey, you're right.
Okay,
you're right.
I mean, where did Aaron Dean get deployed out of with his white partner? Central Division B. What kind of cop hit Manuel Mata when he was on his bicycle with his police cruiser? A white cop. What cop planted drugs on Manuel Mata? A white cop. When you see the videos with the most misbehavior in that neighborhood, and then that goes back to what everyone talked about earlier, which is they go to the parts of town and the neighborhoods where they can rack up statistics to demonize populations to get all these silly misdemeanors, and they're charging people with half a dozen or more misdemeanors or maybe a felony to make it look like they got a hot spot of crime when most of it is misery and poverty, not that as much crime as they act like there is.
And then not only that, is the way they handle the business in the court. They come out there with a 95-inch screen with your name on it, Thomas, you know, with this skirt tactic. Why is all that necessary? Why is all that necessary, Thomas?
Yeah.
Showing the charge. Let me say this. Take some of that funding and teach your police officers how to write a police report without lying on it.
Good luck on that one.
Teach them how to write a police report where they can state facts that they were told to them, and not change narratives and change police reports and downgrade them to information-only reports that they state only what they were told, and not try to create these narratives where the person, the victim, is something other than the victim. So if y'all going to take all this $140 million, make sure a portion of it goes back to retraining police officers how to write a police report. Okay, Adrian wants to get back.
Jail time to that. Excuse me. Huh? Until you attach jail time to that, those officers aren't going to respect it. I mean, I've sat in sensitivity training for police officers, and I watched the instructor roll his eyes as he introduced the class, and watched other officers in there go ahead and start scribbling in their notebooks, talking amongst themselves, and nobody took that class seriously. Any kind of racial sensitivity training from the top down is not respected in any form. These gentlemen make up 30% of our population in America, but they make up 63% of the police force and 90% of the district attorneys and judges who sent us to jail. They're
right.
haunted mm-hmm. by the ghosts of the past, and they don't even know why, but they're great at hunting, especially in poor, underserved yeah. neighborhoods.
That is 100% yeah. right.
Dang.
But I would attach jail time to it.
Huh? Say what?
Go ahead.
Okay. Adrian wants to get back in again. Okay, Adrian, you're on.
Hey, Carrie, thank you again, and respectfully, Carrie, respectfully. Hey, Malik, I have two questions to ask of you. First question is, do you know me personally?
Oh, man, that's silliness. That's just
hey, bro, you can call me on my phone. Don't do that, bro. You want my number?
Go back to work.
We're going back to work. Don't call on here, man. If you want to talk to me, I'll give you my number, bro.
Hold on. No. I
can
ask the question. I'm making a point.
Yeah,
do you know me personally, Malik?
No, but you can have my number though, and I can see
okay.
you. We can meet
okay.
up and talk about whatever
Malik,
issue you got.
Malik, I said respectfully when I called in because Carrie allowed me back in.
Okay,
you don't know me, and I don't know you. So, whatever it is you think you know about me, or whatever it is, like you said, we can exchange numbers, but don't use this platform to try to undermine anything I'm asking or saying or anybody else.
I can say what I want to say because I'm grown.
But again, you don't know me. So
you try to undermine, but don't waste this time on this topic.
Let me give you my number since you got the loudest voice. Let me give you my number.
Both on Facebook, so y'all can exchange, you know, that.
No, Carrie,
okay,
I'm not going to do all that, Carrie, because, Carrie, I respectfully called into the show, and I was talking about the subject, but as I was going off, I heard the little comments.
I'll say that comment to your face, bro. And anybody else in place.
I don't do violence.
No, I'm just telling you, bro, because I said to your face, it's not violent, bro.
Okay, listen.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Whatever I got to say on the air, I would say to you as a man personally.
Yeah, listen.
But I can kindly give you my number, bro. If you got any issues, we can resolve it.
We've come almost to the end of the show, and the devil will not win. We have been productive in
talking
about CCPD funding. Yeah. We got questions, CCPD funding department. We presented a lot of them tonight. We would love to have you all come on. I made the invitation this week for you all to come on and address us because there were five different people, y'all, that asked me to cover this topic. And that
right.
rarely happens when five people agree on one topic. And so for five people to agree, that says that there's a demand for more answers. And
correct.
So I don't know of any time that the CCPD funding department has gone out into the community. And I think that's not good. That's just my opinion. I don't think that's good. I think the CCPD funding with $140 million is supposed to be out in the community talking to us about this money. I mean, I'm just saying that's just crazy to me. So what happens? Do we know what happens to this money if they don't spend $140 million? What are we talking about? So if they don't give it all to the program, what happens to it?
Well, they have a reserve. I noticed there was a line item for reserve dollars from this
mm-hmm.
current fiscal year. They're already sitting on $22 million that wasn't allocated or spent, and that isn't reflected in the next year's budget. So basically, the way they see it is we have to hold a cash reserve, but if that thing starts growing, we can spend it on things. We just go to the quarterly meeting and ask the board, which is the city council, to approve some new outlay that wasn't part of the original budget. That's what I think they're going to do. There's some kind of like range that they think they got to hold in reserve. And when it exceeds that, whatever that money is that exceeds the balance, they're going to come with their hand out like in January or March.
But see, that's crazy because we should be trying to figure out how many programs are in this city, period? I mean, citywide, we should be looking for programs to try to bring down our crime rate. So why would we have a reserve instead of going out into the community, putting the word out that this money is available?
Yeah. Well,
Dana did touch on it, Carrie. She said that we should have had tons of, you know, stacks of applications to go through. And that's when Dana brought to the light, you know, we should have more than 19. He said, how are y'all going about, you know, telling people about the CCPD program or what are y'all doing? And so
wait,
she did bring that like, because I for her to bring that to light, she's getting questions about how things are being done and the productivity of some of these programs are not producing, especially the ones in the South-Southeast region.
Wait, are y'all saying of this whole city, only 19 people have put in applications for CCPD funding, total?
Thomas, that's
probably
what you said, didn't you, bro?
Oh, my God.
Well, and that's when she questioned the process of how y'all screening the applications, what are y'all doing. And it may well have been, but it was a whole bunch of them that got denied, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, I think it's because by keeping it vague and nebulous, that way people don't know if they got to go to a certain department or to a city manager or to a board or to the police department. And I believe that's because the police department, the top leadership, goes around in communities and acts like sugar daddy. And they talk up, hey, why don't you come up with a program for that? I think I know we could probably divert 50 grand or 200 grand or whatever.
Wow.
Well, see, think of it is, Bob, they got to show where that money going, bro. See, when they get out of it, from my understanding from the ex-chief and you start auditing and they looking at that, because one thing, somebody got to pay them taxes, bro.
Yeah.
And you ain't going to cheat Uncle Sam. So they gotta burn that money up to where they keep Uncle Sam out them feds out of their business.
Yeah.
So you got to float it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Contracts, a lot of that stuff going to get ate up on the back end. That's why I say you got to look at who getting the contracts, what kind of contracts are tied to the CCPD funding, like that Axion group or, you know, AT&T, whoever. Yeah. And who tied to that? What councilman is tied to getting that contract or doing this, that, and the other, so they can eat out the back end?
Wow.
So you gotta dance with the devil, Thomas. You gotta think just like they think, and it ain't hard to crack the guy doggone safe, Thomas, with that bunch right there.
Yeah.
Carrie, are way sharper than three quarters of them. I barely can read on a 10th grade level officers that's down there.
That's scary, though. I mean, because all that money, I mean,
that's why it's raggedy.
Nobody knows it's there.
But that's why it's raggedy.
Crazy.
That's why we see it. I listened to Thomas. It don't take Thomas long to figure this out.
Whoa.
It's just like some kids that been through your yard like you ain't seen them run through your yard. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Thomas standing in the window watching them run through the yard. He come outside. Hey, Tommy, why did you run through my yard? Oh, Miss Thomas, I didn't do that. I'm looking right at you. It's on my camera. But see, that's how they process. Because when you have, you know what, when you are a pathological liar, that is a mental disease. And they do it all the time because their mind is conditioned to lie all the time.
Right.
If you look at their Brady list, that's why they have so many domestic violence cases and alcohol. Something wrong with your mind if you do that all the time. Right or wrong, Thomas?
Yeah, it's sociopathic. Yeah, it's sociopathic. No, I mean, it's a culture. It's a culture of sociopathy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They keep each other. Yeah, it becomes their persona.
Wow. Yeah, we got to get out of here. Listen, thank you to Reggie Ruffin, Thomas Torlingazi, Malik Austin, and Frederick Lewis for chiming in tonight. And thank you, the audience, for listening. Listen, if you have a show idea and you'd like us to consider it, drop me a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Also, listen, to the five people that recommended this show, thank you. I did listen to what you said, and I absolutely tried my best tonight to bring you all the information about CCPD funding. I'm going to say to anybody who has a nonprofit or who can go under a nonprofit and has an idea about how to connect the community with the police department, and they believe that their idea is a good idea for bringing down the crime rate, I say go apply. CCPD funding. Make sure that you go apply for CCPD funding. Also,
oh,
listen,
that application
like
will be open up March of next year too. They can start submitting another application. Next year in March. That's what the dude told me. Keith.
Okay. Listen, if you'd like to get, we'd like you to consider advertising here on Let's Talk Fort Worth if you have a product, a service, a business, a nonprofit, or a political campaign that you need to get the word out about. Consider doing it right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Also, listen, if you'd like to be a sponsor, we'd love to have you. Listen, drop me a line again at Let's Talk Fort Worth at AOL.com. Listen, we got to get out of here. Until next week, good night.